First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 16, from the verse number 19 to the end of this epistle.
The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen.
From the verse number 19, we have Christian greetings sent from Paul or through Paul from the other believers from other parts of the world, other churches, to the believers at Corinth. Salutation, good wishes, greetings with blessings or prayerful wishes for the fellow believers in other parts of the world, I think, were a very well established custom among the early believers, among the Christian churches of the apostolic era or the times of apostolic teaching, when the apostles were here still walking on the face of this earth among the disciples. Nowadays, it's a rare thing among the nominal churches, among the believers or nominal believers of the nominal Christianity. I think that this is just one part of the scripture and one practice of the early believers that has been neglected nowadays, and this is not the only part. I think that a good part, a very important portion of the gospel teaching just faded out from among the nominal believers. And of course, I'm only 69, 70 years old. I have no recollection, no memories of what the believers believed and practiced 100 years ago, 200 years, 3 and longer in period of time. According to the historical records, which I cannot trust 100% because the history has been recorded biasly by the people that supported their own group and their own movement and their own supporters or the people that shared the same kind of opinions. However, according to those historical records, I find that some of the so-called great theologians like Martin Luther and Calvin and the others were actually politicians and not real Christians, not genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather opportunists. However, whatever they were, that's their problem or their credit. It's before the Lord, and the Lord is going to judge everyone. The true and genuine Christians will be rewarded with life everlasting, and all the others with condemnation. When we read in the verse number 19 of this final chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, the churches of Asia salute the churches at Corinth or in that region, that would indicate that the churches of Asia were aware of the fact that Paul the Apostle is going to write or is writing an epistle to the Corinthians. I think this is an indication that among the early believers there was keen interest about the welfare and well-being of the other believers in other parts of the world, and also that the Apostle Paul, by sharing greetings and informing one group believers about the welfare and well-being of another group of believers, was maintaining the relationship and connection between the Christians, between the believers. And I believe that that's a good custom that it is a sign of the Lord's charity and loving kindness among the fellow believers, genuine Christian disciples. To the salutations from the churches of Asia, we have added greetings of a wonderful couple, husband and wife, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, fellow disciples with the Apostle Paul, and really genuine believers in the gospel of our Lord, Aquila and Priscilla. I think that we met this couple, this brother and his wife, a sister in Christ, first time in the book of Acts, chapter 18, and throughout the chapter 18 we can find their activity and their service to the fellow believers and the others around, and their testimony and their outreach. Also, their very interesting, full awareness of the activity of the Apostle Paul. In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 16, which is also a chapter of greetings and salutations, in the verse number 3, we see the greetings from Aquila and Priscilla. And now here in the final chapter of the first Epistle to the Corinthians. But not only greetings from Aquila and Priscilla, but also greetings from the church that is in their house. And it's a wonderful blessing from the Lord to this faithful couple, that the Lord has blessed their outreach, and now they're having a church in their house. I think I should make a correction right now and right here, that in the chapter 16 of the Epistle to the Romans, verse 3, it's not greetings from Aquila and Priscilla, but Paul's greetings to Aquila and Priscilla, and also greetings to their church that is in their house. So in the Epistle to the Romans, in chapter 16, verse 3 and on, we see the greetings from Paul to Aquila and Priscilla and to the church that is in their house. So I would suppose that the church must have been in their house, and their house probably was at Rome or somewhere around in that region. I don't know how reliable and trustworthy are the marginal notes in some books, but I found one note that tells me First Epistle to the Corinthians was written from Philippi. And the Corinthians are receiving greetings, salutation from Aquila and Priscilla and the church that is in their house, whether in Philippi or somewhere around there. But in any case, there is quite a distance between Rome and Philippi. So I would say that these two people, this brother and sister, his wife, were working actively, reaching out to the others, using their time and even their business, every their activity that was usable in reaching out to the others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think this is the last time that we are dealing with Aquila and Priscilla. In the rest of the epistles, I don't recall that there was either or both of their names mentioned. So they remain in my memory as bright pictures of genuine Christians recorded in the scripture. I wonder, in the verse number 20, when Paul is writing, "All the brethren greet you," who is included in all the brethren? I imagine that it might be possible that these brethren that are not mentioned by their personal names were not personally known to the Corinthians, and yet, through the news and stories and updates that they heard from the Apostle Paul or the others, I believe that the disciples in the days of the Apostle Paul's ministry, as being trained and influenced by the Spirit of Christ in Paul's preaching, were sharing the news with one another and between the churches, and that there was a net of communicating. I would think that they kept one another in their prayers, continually praying for the churches, for the individuals, for all those they knew personally, and the others that they knew about from the other disciples around them. The second part of the verse number 20 is very special. At this point, I would like to encourage you to listen to the recording and Bible sharing on the Epistle to the Romans chapter 16 about greetings and greeting one another with an holy kiss. I would like to repeat some points. At least I hope I am repeating, or perhaps I am saying that first time. If you listen to the other recording that I suggested, then you're going to see what really happened. I simply believe that this was an encouragement, not a rigid commandment. And when I say that, I'm not saying that to encourage someone, some believers, some fellow believers, genuine Christians, to avoid that greetings. I would think that it's only a natural thing. And I would like to say some other facts that I believe, and that is that Christians cannot have two kinds of greetings, holy and unholy. There cannot be a holy kiss and unholy, common, profane kiss. We cannot have sweet and salty water from the same fountain. On the other hand, we have in the second epistle of John, in the verse number 10 and 11, this commandment: if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I would think that if anyone, professing believer or professing unbeliever, is actively involved at that time in fighting against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and promoting false doctrines, that we should not bless him, we should not greet him, we should not encourage that person or that group of people. I remember in a small group of Christians, a very small congregation in a remote part of that country where I used to live, where the unbelief and the opposition to the gospel is very strong, there was that small group of believers, and they were very closely knit together, united in love and godliness, and continually praying for the salvation of their loved ones and their neighbors and so on. And if any of their relatives or in-laws or friends or neighbors was not against the gospel openly, actively, was not an enemy, even though not a believer yet, they would share greetings with them, and I believe that was godly, that was proper. And I remember when we were together as visitors from afar with that small congregation, that their minister stood up and said, "Dearly beloved brethren, I have greetings from my wife. She is not saved, she is not a Christian, but she is kind to the believers, and she said her greetings to you." And we all thanked him for that kindness, and we replied that he also be kind to extend our greetings to his wife. We desired to encourage his reaching out to his wife, and we wanted to have an open door of love and loving kindness to this soul that we prayed for to be saved. In the verse number 21, I read the salutation: of me, Paul, with mine own hand. I think this is another clear indication of Paul's affection, his sincere and genuine charity and loving kindness for the believers. I would think that this epistle was written by some of his helpers, some younger believers, and perhaps some of them were very skillful in writing, which was not necessarily a general situation in those days. I think literacy was considered special education. Many poor people were illiterate, and also many slaves. On the other hand, some of the slaves were highly educated because their masters were rich and too lazy to obtain higher education, so they would educate a slave to help them in with his or her information when they needed some knowledge they didn't have themselves. And because the epistle was written by some other disciples, Paul desired to have at least this one or two lines, a few words written by his own hand, salutation of Paul, their teacher. Sadly, not everyone among the disciples was having the same affection and same love and loving kindness toward the apostle and toward the other brethren or fellow members of the same fellowship or the same group. We read in the verse number 22, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." Verse number 22 is somewhat unusual. I didn't see something similar in all the other epistles. Perhaps in another one somewhere there may be that I'm not aware of yet. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." Why these words were not translated into English, I wonder. I wonder why it was necessary to write them in these words that are not English. Thankfully, many other books, Bible copies, have more or less the same marginal notes indicating that these words mean let him be anathema, let him be accursed, and maranatha would either mean the Lord come, as calling upon the Lord to come, or as a statement, very strong statement, the Lord is coming. Why was it necessary to the Corinthians to receive this kind of a admonition or advice, commandment, encouragement, or warning? That's a good question, but it was necessary. The Apostle Paul, writing by the Spirit of the Lord, would not write any unnecessary verses or lines, but it's also necessary for us to be warned and to be reminded here, and I would refresh our memory by reading a few verses from the chapter 5 of this epistle, first epistle to the Corinthians. "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up," the other believers around this fornicator or immoral man, "and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has done such a deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit," Paul's of course, "with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." And here again, in the verse number 22, chapter 16, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, you, the rest of the disciples that really love the Lord Jesus Christ, do not tolerate that. If somebody has elected for himself, for herself, to be accursed, let them be accursed. You have no part nor fellowship in that. The Lord is coming. Every one of you, be ready for His coming. This day might be your last day on this earth. This night might be the night of the coming or your final call. Remain in the Lord and do not tolerate wickedness. Now, to simplify that or to make some simple application, we could compare this situation with someone who is especially gifted. For example, let's say there is a man that is nominal believer among us, but we all have some reservations, some questions, because his life is not a real testimony for the Lord, rather a spot on that fellowship. However, this same man has a special gift for leading the singing, teaching the others to sing, or perhaps that sister has a beautiful voice and can sing solo or duet or whatever. And we don't want to deprive our congregation from using their talents. No, no way. It's not deprivation. It's a proper thing not to promote those that are detrimental to the fellowship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ among the genuine believers. This having said, I don't mean to suggest that we should be mean, that we should be displaying some lack of love and godly concern for anyone who does not love the Lord, who does not care for the Lord's coming, or does not even believe that the Lord is coming, or maybe professing that belief with lips, but with deeds denying it. I think we should be very careful to reach out with love and compassion, but also with genuine godly fear and godly concern for every soul that apparently is not walking and growing in the Spirit of the Lord. When Paul wrote in the verse number 21, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand, I think all the believers knew in that salutation, it's a prayerful blessing. These are good, hearty wishes of love and godly concern from the heart of the apostle, from the heart of a genuine disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a heart in which the Spirit of the Lord is the King of Kings. And yet, the affection and the love in Paul's heart for the believers at Corinth prompted him to add to that blessing, to add to that salutation. In the verse number 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As much as Paul loved the brethren at Corinth, he was aware that his love, not nearly as great, not nearly as perfect and perfectly complete as the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's adding that prayerful desire, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then, where the Lord Jesus Christ is, there is the heart and mind of the apostle. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. And then the final confirmation, amen. Well, if Paul was aware that his greetings cannot contain all the love and grace that the Lord Jesus Christ has in himself for every soul He came to redeem. What can I say? After completing or finishing, ending, sharing of the scripture on the first epistle to the Corinthians, the epistle of the Apostle Paul, I can only say, I touched the surface. There is much more. And the meaning is much deeper. And the revelation given to Paul, as he related that to the Corinthians, much greater than anything I could have shared with you in these recordings. It is my prayer once again, and sincere desire of my heart. And I could say, the longing of my soul, that some of you, and hopefully not only one, but more of you that will listen to these recordings, may be encouraged to study more and to learn better and to practice more faithfully the teaching of the gospel, and that you will share this gospel in greater depth and more widely, more inclusively, and in a greater height of the revelation and understanding of the will of the Lord, so that the abundance of the Lord's grace be multiplied upon you and all the others that will receive your sharing of the gospel with them. May the Lord bless His word, multiply the gospel message, glorify His Son, deliver the souls that He has redeemed in Christ, and defeat the enemy. Blessed be the name of the Lord.